David, thank you so much for joining me today. Super excited to chat with you. And David, you are a VR and AR expert, co-founder and CTO of multiple XR startups. You're a speaker, and you are creating and sharing the future of immersive technology. So that's what I gathered from all your socials. You're putting out some really, really incredible stuff on LinkedIn, on Twitter, et cetera. Okay, so you know, we'll start from the top here before diving into the companies that you're currently working on. Tell me about your background. How did you get involved with AR and VR?
Thank you for the invitation, Andrew. Hello, everybody. So in my case, it was kind of like jumping from one to other. I studied mathematics, the cryptography, and during the study, I started to experiment with the programming some applications and stuff, and then I jumped into the mobile development. I was doing a lot of Android and iOS development, and I was actually living by that, working in big companies with multiple applications. And one day I was starting to experiment with the AR. It was kind of like similar to Android development. It was the base on it. It was the 2014-13. And then we were able to get like literally deal which was involved in the AR application. It was like one of the first AR in the mainstream applications. Got me hanged. So I started to work on that, and we started the new department in the company. I was leading the department. We were working more on VR, AR. And then in some point, I kind of had the need to grow, you know, the other aspects. So I started my own company with my business partner, and that's almost 4 years ago. And right now we started one company called Your Agency B2B, and then other companies which are specializing on different part of the XR world.
Very cool. Okay, so take me back to when you first were discovering AR, VR. Which one did you discover first? And what was the spark of that interest where you're like, oh my gosh, I can use it for so many business applications? Or was it more of like an entertainment and like gaming kind of use case?
Yeah, like both were with the phones. It was mobile VR and mobile AR. I think actually first was mobile VR, where I was trying some cardboard 360 use, but it wasn't like the thing I would say, okay, that's the best thing I want to do. I think the AR, first AR experiments with the Vuforia and AR Toolkit and the other first frameworks with the AR, which was just to take it and implement it into what I already was doing, which was mobile development. And I really like the image targets, like making alive something from the 2D poster or 2D image. That was the cool stuff, I would say.
Very cool. And so for Yord, at what point were you thinking, okay, I want to start my own company involving this technology? And was it Yord first and then Moya, or was it simultaneous?
Yeah, like it wasn't like I had these like thinking about starting my own business. I was like thinking about it long. But I didn't have the push to let go everything and jump into it. But then my business partner came, and he was the one who came to me and say, okay, I want to build this company. I need the technical guy who will help me to build it. And I believe it's you. And yeah, I was like, okay, that makes sense. Like you have the business background. He was working in some Silicon Valley startups. He was working in business and has the really good skills there, and had development and technical skills. So it was like kind of a really good fit. And yeah, I trusted him in that, and we jumped into it together and started Yord. And Yord was like really from the start, it was two people. We are bootstrapped. We never had the external investment. And in 4 years, we made it from 2 people to 35 people.
Wow. In 4 years?
Yeah, in 4 years.
Wow.
We were able to build it from the scratch. It was hard, but it kind of snowballed because like we were getting new clients, better references, and yeah, we got there. So first was the Yord. Then actually it wasn't the Moya, but then was the project called Mainware, which we did a joint venture with one manufacturer here in Czech Republic. and we were actually creating the application for augmented reality maintenance and smart maintenance, digital maintenance, how to process these things, how to teach the maintenance guys and everything. And then like we started also the Moya, and Moya was more like, it was sparked by interest from our clients, because like there was this metaverse and everything, 2021 and stuff, and we are getting a lot of inquiries for, okay, we want to join the metaverse, we want to create something in metaverse and stuff. And we were always a little bit skeptical about the metaverse. We were like, okay, here's the hype, but it's still just the hype, it will just settle somehow. But on the other side, it was like a great help for our industry, because like there was a lot of external interest. So we started to creating Moya, like the tool which will kind of fulfill these needs of our clients, because like there was like, okay, we have this collection and we want to sell it in metaverse, or we want to do this presentation in metaverse. And the problem with this is that if you are not like the top tier brand, like if you are not Gucci or if you are not Ford or something, most of these big metaverses will not even like lose time with you. They will say, okay, you can go with this process. But if you are Gucci and you will say, okay, I want to do this fashion show in Decentraland or in Horizon or whatever, they will say, okay, that's interesting. And that's how they talk. But if you are a small or mid-size brand, it's much harder for you, because usually you don't have the specific type of people on your board. You cannot invest like building the metaverse team, which will be just doing the research. And there is also about like 200, 300 metaverses, and to find the correct one and work with that, it's hard. And if you do it again, you usually pick just one. You will pick Decentraland, you will pick Sandbox or Somnium or something. You will do this happening and that's it. And we were thinking like, that's not how we want to approach it, and we think there's more to it. And I think if you want to like sell ahead a bigger audience, you need to penetrate multiple metaverses at once, like has this interoperability on your assets and everything. So that was actually the spark of the Moya idea. And we actually created something which is, if you are a car manufacturer and you came to us and say, okay, I want to sell this new model or this concept of the car in the metaverse, and you say, okay, that makes sense. Here are 70 metaverse where you can do it. In this 50, you can drive it. And in this 30, you can mint it as NFT and sell it as NFT. And we literally have these databases and partners on the metaverse side, and we are able to distribute these assets through our network and sell it, and also optimize it and stylize. So we are taking like the data from like CAD data or FBX data from the clients, and we are able to transform them and optimize them for these metaverses and then distribute them. So it's like for them getting much wider reach on the side of the digital assets.
So Moya's focused on virtual worlds, and then you have Mainframe, I think you said?
Mainware.
Mainware is focused on more industrial applications, like actually, like, can you describe that? If I'm a, car manufacturer, is it telling me put this, nut and bolt right here and do XYZ, or how does that work?
Yeah, it's a whole ecosystem which works. Like, it really grow from the, it's like 3 years of development right now in the Mainware. And it's about like, it has multiple targets on the company. One of them is to digitize the maintenance. So every maintenance guy has through the device, see the machine, and in augmented reality, it can tell him, okay, here's the problem, or here's the some data wrong, or if there's something wrong, here's how you fix it. Here's how you change this belt. Here's how you do safety measures or like regular maintenance. And also it tracks all these data and helps to like really have these like guarantees that you know that this maintenance really happened, how it happened, who did it, and that's it.
Cool. So can you give me a concrete example of something that, and maybe it's proprietary, maybe you can't talk about it, but can you actually describe like the actual process? Like, okay, I'm putting a, you know, I'm putting new oil in this car engine. Therefore, on the system, it shows that this car has new oil and it's totally, totally, you know, ready on that front. Is that kind of how?
We are also working with the products like car, but more focused on assembly line of the car, like this machine, how it's done, because like our partner is creating these machines. So it's our like closest thing. And the thing is that it's like open book. Like if they are delivering the new machine, they already create a lot of these tutorials, these regular maintenance and everything. But the thing is that it's open system and anybody can create and save their knowledge. So the thing is with the maintenance is that like, I think like 50% of the maintenance guys here in Europe will be in retirement in next 5 years.
Wow.
Because it's like really the hole in the system. Like nobody wants, young people don't want to go into the maintenance. So you need to create it as easy as possible to enter these. And also the new technologies are the things which can like lure the younger people to the field, because you are working with not just with the oil and everything, but you are having the technology which helps you to be effective and work with it. So regulate means like there could be a guy who is working there for 30, 40 years and he has his know-how, but it's super hard to pass it on somebody else. So this application is about to like create an augmented reality. You can really, literally touch on the machine and showcase, okay, you need to unscrew this screw, you need to move it here. You then need to wait because there is oil which needs to be emptied and stuff like that. And you can do these processes and digitalize them. And yeah, that's the main idea. And right now it's also like more and more, because like even the big corporations right now, like getting to something which is called like industrial metaverse, digital twins and everything. And a lot of companies are investing in that, kind of starting to realize that that's important for them and how they will work.
And is this technology, is it live today? Like, is it able to function, you know, mainware? Is it able to function at like its top level, or is it still experimental?
No. Like, I think like we had the like paid customers from like 2.5 years ago. Like we are still building it, and it's working. Yeah. But it's very still cool. Long process, because like on the start it was really aimed a lot on this augmented reality. Then we also had like the virtual reality, but we find out that we need to also fill the holes on the like process thing. So we need to have the web interface, you need to have the planning of tasks and everything. So we literally like redoing, kind of really simplified Jira there.
Wow. So okay, so Moya's focused mostly on virtual reality. It seems like mainware is virtual and augmented reality.
Our goal or our mission is to like bring the metaverse to these brands and help them there. But one of the kind of the metaverse, or how I perceive it also, is the real life metaverse, which is like augmented reality, like if you think about the Pokemon Go and stuff. And that's also that where Moya is really active. We are partnering with the big brands and celebrities, and we are actually by this working with them and creating augmented reality merchandise. So first, it's actually for most of the people, it's like easiest to understand, because like if you tell somebody who is not experienced in the augmented reality, virtual reality, and tell them, okay, here's the digital world, and you will be selling their digital stuff, which are just like bytes of code and something, and they will not hold anything, it's harder for them to grasp. But right now, with the NFTs and everything, it's getting better. So that's how we are usually starting. We take the brand, we start with these digital, like physical t-shirts or merch, and adding the digital layer over them. And then it's just a step to say, okay, this was a success, let's do it also in the total digital world. And this is how we have the best experience with that so far.
Very cool. Okay, so what is Yord's focus? Because I feel like I understand deeply about Moya and mainware. So Yord, does it do a little bit of everything?
Yord is like only goal or only common thing is that we want to push these immersive technologies. So we are doing like usually one of the kind projects for every client. So it's like from really customized things. We are doing virtual reality, we are doing augmented reality, We are doing live experiences. We are doing in-store activations and stuff. But all is the common ground is the immersive technologies. It's always virtual reality, augmented reality, Kinect, AI, whatever. What is common with these technologies? And yeah, and kind of like I would say like the Yurt is the core and the Mainware is the like specialized unit and the Moya is also, they are like more into the products, but the Yurt is the more agency and we are doing whatever is needed.
Very cool. And so I've always had this question to everyone who's deep in the AR, VR space, XR. XR, the definition of XR is confusing for me. Is it both AR, VR? Is it like a certain type of device that does you know, the both simultaneously and not just like the subsectors? Like what is the definition of XR?
Yeah, like I think like it's a bold term. Like I always, when I'm speaking about it, like XR, you can explain it like four ways. What does it mean? Like you can take X like cross reality and it's cover everything, or you can take X like the variable and it's like variable and you can put the V there, M there, A there, or it's like extended reality. But in general, I think it's just a term to not write every time VR, AR, MR, or SR, how the Apple, one time they called it simulated reality. Right now, they all also change it into something. I wrote article about the June event, and there was some like crazy term. I don't remember, but it wasn't neither of these.
So it's kind of like a marketing term similar to Metaverse?
Yeah, like right now it's hard because like nobody really wants to use Metaverse. Nobody totally wants to right now use the NFTs. It's like digital worlds, digital assets.
Digital collectible, for digital sure.
Collectible. Because like the hype was really good on these parts to get the attention, but it got caught up with a lot of these, like I would say, trend surfers. That's like these, like, okay, right now the blockchain is the thing, or cryptocurrencies are things, and I'm a cryptocurrency expert, I'm doing this, and it's a hype, everything is growing, everybody is like, okay, this will be the best thing ever, and they are adding like the proposed things it should have or it should know, but then you get to the real thing and everything falls, and every person who left their money will hate that thing. So that's hard. And the same was with the NFTs and the same was with the Metaverse. And I don't want to be the dead guy, but I think in some way it will be the same with the AI.
Wow. Okay. So tell me about your business pre 2021, during 2021, and then now after, because I would imagine it's like a big kind of up and then down, but I would, you know, want to hear.
Yeah, like I would say we were really able to kind of ignore it. We are growing like really in good pace, I would say stable pace. And the thing with the Metaverse and COVID and everything, what happened there, it was kind of like balance. Like if there was the COVID, everybody was like dropping these, I would say, expendable parts of their business, which was usually the VR. Like everybody was like, okay, VR, we can drop it. We need right now focus on keeping company alive and everything. And on the other side, there was like a lot of needs from side. Okay, we cannot do this in real. We need to do it in virtual worlds. So I would say it was kind of balanced, like the cuts and growth on that part. I still think like these Metaverse will kind of go even slightly lower in the next half year or year, because there's still a lot of companies which are living from the investors' money, which they raised on the mid-2022 or something, and they will be closing up half year, 1 year, because they will not be able to raise the another rounds. So I think that will be the bottom of these trends. But yeah, like in our opinion, we were always able to kind of like, we were always focusing on the Western market. We are like, our main offices, development offices are in Prague. We have also offices in London and New York. And actually our business is happening mostly in US, UK and Middle East. That's are the three parts of the world where we are focusing our business. But on the other side, like the development is here in Prague is Prague is really great center of the gaming. Really big gaming studios started here, and there's like really quality developers. And that's actually kind of changed in the VR AR, because like it's almost the same technology, gaming and VR, because you are using the similar engines and everything. So that was why Prague also happened to be the AR VR center. Like you have the guys from Beat Saber is from Prague, Neos VR, Somnium, Lift TV, everybody's Diver. Everybody's here in Prague, and really there's a lot of studios and a lot of talented developers. So that's why we are keeping it there.
So would you say that the business is still going steady, but was it that kind of like, you know, pre-2021, was it going up and to the right, growing, and then 2021 it boomed, and then now is it still growing now, or are people like, no, metaverse is dead, like we'll talk to you in like 1 year?
I would say the metaverse trend went down. There's not so much ask for metaverse, but there's still big ask for digital worlds and for VR AR experiences. And especially there are fields which are kind of like, I would say, established in this, like for example, trainings, like trainings of hard and soft skills is something which kind of, I would say, stick to it and they are used to it. And that's the business which will not say, okay, we are getting back to like having regular lessons and stuff, because they find out it's much more efficient. The same is in the marketing. Like the marketers are used to work with these new technologies because they want to be the first in who has this campaign, who has this experience and everything. And yeah.
Very cool. Okay. So I would love to talk about use cases for AR and VR, just because I feel like we're always hearing about and seeing about different use cases, but I'd love to hear from you. So, you know, in your opinion, we'll start with AR first. What will AR not have an impact on? Because I feel like it's going to have an impact in so many industries, and we'll dive into those specifics soon. But like, what will it not impact?
Because I'm thinking about the AR, like successor of the mobile.
Oh, okay, wait. So, tell me about that. So, you think that we will either get rid of or start using our phones less and start using what, augmented reality glasses soon?
Yeah.
Really?
I think it's nature development, because like if you think about it, right now you have mobile phone, and the original design of mobile phone was to making calls. How much time or percentage of usage of your phone is the making of phones right now?
It's like 2% maybe.
Yeah. But it's still the same device. It came through, I would say, slight revolution in 2008-2007 with the smartphones and the iPhone. It's kind of like get larger, get the bigger media space and everything. But right now, phone is just a like portable computer which like gives you the access to media, to social media, to like games, everything, and like that's it. And but still got stuck on the same design. It's something you are holding in the hand, which has some display, which you are touching and which you are interacting like this, and you need to watch it, you need to bend to see it. And yeah, I think it's kind of like really lame. And I don't think like that's the design you want to stick with for next 10, 15 years. That's just no go. Like the evolution is going so fast on all these terms. And I would say like right now, if you say it, we are 15 years in smartphone era, and we were previously 20 years, 25 years, maybe if you count in the mobile era. And I think with the speed we are used to right now, like everything is shorter. I think we are past term on the smartphone devices. I think like what happened in last 10 years or 7 years in evolution of the phones, like nothing. Like there's a better camera, there's a bigger resolution. They are playing around with some folding phones and stuff, but that's rubbish. Like that's nothing. That's like even the guys who is right now creating the folding phones, they know that's just a just a nice thing to have. Like, yeah, we will do 2-3 of them. Maybe we will then add it to every phone, but still it will be the same small phone. And there's like really lack of these evolutions and or revolutions. And yeah, I'm pretty optimistic that the way there is actually to the movement to augmented reality in the face of like lightweight AR glasses. And I think it will be the hard transition. It will be not so smooth like classical phones to smartphones, because like even there was some resistance on the side of the older people. It kind of went smooth, right? Right now, 15 years after this revolution, I would say smartphones has like 95% of the mobile market. Only 5% of the people has these old phones or the BlackBerry salt or something. So I think this transition to AR will be much slower, and adoption rate will be much lower, I think, but it's still there. And to be honest, I'm not like the Apple fanboy. I use their devices, but mainly for development, because you need to have them if you want to develop for them. But I have really high hopes in their AR device or glasses, because Apple has the special position in these markets, because they are not usually the first. They are not the first movers. Like they didn't came up with the smartphone, they didn't came up with the PC. But when they came to the ready market, and they came with the ready product. And most important, they were ready to adjust the behavior of their customers. They were able to change their customers and say to them, this is new normal. You will, from now on, you will be wearing wireless headphones. Like that's crazy. If you would think about it 7 years ago, that some like C-level manager would have the wireless headphones, that's just crazy. Like who would wear a headphone? Because back then it was like kind of weird geeky things, and they were able to do it a new normal. They were able to do it fashion accessory. And that's where I have hopes. I will see if I'm right, but I have really high hopes in these devices. I don't think it will be the first generation of it, or the third or fifth, which will do it. They have this power, and they also can adjust their competitors, because like everybody will start to copy them. If you will be having successful XR glasses from Apple, there will be five of them in Lenovo, Samsung, anything, Xiaomi, and everybody will try to like replicate the success. And also they will jump on this evolution or revolution of the phones.
Amazing. Okay, so when are these Apple AR glasses supposed to come out?
I remember I was writing my thesis 7 years ago. I was writing about them there, that there's the rumors that it should be.
Oh, man.
And it's like every year it postponed. But in last 14 days, there was a lot of rumors, and it almost like confirmed that on the 5th of June, there should be the event, WDC, and there should be announcement of these devices. But nobody still knows if it will be like really lightweight glasses, just a computer unit on your phone, or if there will be some extra remote computer unit, or if it will be inside of it. It's still a lot of rumors. No facts.
I could be totally wrong here, but I feel like the adoption of these glasses, if they're good, obviously, it has to grow very quickly in order to reach that uncool factor. Because if it stays this small little thing that only like these weird people are wearing, then most other people are going to say, oh, those are like, that's so gross. It's not cool. So I don't know. I'm like kind of nervous that maybe Apple does release them and it's only a small subset of people that are wearing them, and other people are like, nah, it's just too much.
That's what happened with the Google glasses. Google right. glasses were too early, and it wasn't really like AR. It was assisted display. It was just a non-contextual display, which didn't take in account what you see, but they just take in account what you tell them, and it was kind of like Siri with the display on. And a lot of people started to call them actually glassos.
Like glassos?
Glassos, like Azos, but with the glass. Even so, Apple and Google are both technological giants. They are so different. They have different approaches, and they have their niches where they excel and where they don't. And I think like this release of the new hardwares and everything, that's where Google is totally hopeless, like compared to Apple or even other competitors, because like they don't know how to do it. They don't know how to change their user base, or it's maybe because their user base is kind of different. Like I would say Pixel users are usually more geeky than Apple users. So maybe that's, they are hard to influence or harder to influence. I don't know, but the adaption and everything really depends. But Tim Cook and Apple made a giant bet on the XR and AR, or in general, I think even bigger than the Meta itself. But they have different approach. They don't want to kind of iterate on the users and test it and get small revenues from some first generation, second generation. They keep it under the hood and they work four more years on it, and hopefully it will pay off.
You know, I have some thoughts that when Apple or, you know, whoever launches a successful AR glasses device, that will essentially spawn like a multi-billion dollar market from that, because all these developers will say, oh my gosh, now there's a developer platform that has, you know, in the hands of millions of users, there's now millions of app ideas I can create. Do you think that as well? Or do you think it's going to be, there's so few AR VR developers out there that it's going to stay pretty niche for you know, the next few years, even if there is a great product launch?
Yeah, like I actually think that the evolution will happen on all sides, because like I remember there was like web development companies all around the world, and around 2010 they started to making their own mobile development departments, and some of them are totally transitioned. And also there was like solely companies which started like just the mobile development. And right now we are in this similar space where we are like solely XR development company, but there are still a lot of these mobile or web development company which started their own XR departments or metaverse departments. I don't think it will be like transition that everybody will working only on XR, because like not everybody switch from web to mobile. There are still webs. There will be always the mobile applications. But the thing is that if there will be any development at all with all the AI and generation and stuff, because I'm more lean to like the web 3.0 idea about how the next generation of the technologies will work. And I think it's the whole ecosystem, because like, if you think about it, when we were starting the internet or intranet, it was like you were interface with the desktop, the programs were running, and you were communicating over the LAN or some local networks usually. Then the web came and you had the browsers. That was your interface, some Internet Explorer. It was running on websites, like some static websites, and it was hosted on servers. Then you are in the web 2, where we are right now. And that's like most of the traffic on the internet is happening on mobile devices. That's the interface of the future, I would say, or right now, current. Then the logic moved into the application, Google Maps, Facebook, Instagram, whatever. And data are right now flowing through clouds and like clusters of servers. And the thing is that the web 3.0, there's evolution on all these parts, like interface, logic, and data. And the interface will evolve, or I think, or I hope, will evolve in the XR. It's like you want to have the more immersive way how to communicate. And it doesn't mean that it needs to be always on the VR device. Like you see that even right now, the websites are trying to be more immersive. There's a lot of 3D there. There's like interactions. It reacts. It behaves differently. and logic will move to AI, because like that's the thing, like do we really think we will have to write programs in 5 years? Because right now you are able to tell the AI, I want to create like the calculator, and it will create the application for you in the runtime. The applications can be dynamic, decentralized. And in some moment it will be, okay, I am wearing my glasses and I want to be on the beach. I want to have there two coconuts and I want to monkey to jump over the palm tree. And that's it. It will generate the 3D for you and you will say, okay, and I right now want to have here some gamification and I want to hit the coconuts in the music and count the score. And you can create this, or you will sell, give me some ideas, or somebody else will tell, okay, this is my idea, and they will in one sentence describe the program and you will say, oh, this is good, I want to load it up too. And that's it. Like, if this is the future, we'll see. And then there is also the data layer, which is going more into decentralization with the blockchain and everything, but there it depends. I don't think like the decentralized society or decentralized like applications are the thing or are even possible in some way, but definitely blockchain will be helpful for owning your own data and even selling your own data. You want to be able to sell your cookies or your personal data, because right now most of the people are giving them away for free.
Totally. Okay, I want to bring it back to the AR use cases. So my thought process here is like, I'll name like an industry or a subsector and then give me some sort of use case. So like, you know, I'll say sports and then you'll say, oh, augmented reality can be used for sports for like this specific use case. Just because I want to make it more real, because I always hear like, oh, it's going to change everything, which I agree. But it's like, I want concrete, right?
Okay.
So we'll start with sports. How is AR going to impact sports?
Yeah, like I'm not really watching a lot of sports, but when I'm watching, my biggest problem is that I don't see the players. I don't know who is who. And that's like crazy. And if you don't have the commentator who will tell you, that's like, you can be really lost even in the big stadiums. And I think like there are already use cases. It happened here in Qatar, the championship, that you use your mobile or glasses and it can recognize the movement of the players. It can tell you, this is the player, this one. He's on the grass for 25 minutes, he shoots 5 times on the goalkeeper, he's this statistics and everything, and you can get this real time like data about the game. But that's just the watching. I think the AR will also allow us to even create the new games, because like the technology always like there are already games which couldn't exist without the technology, which we are like there are sort of esports and everything. But with the augmented reality and everything, there could be like really the sports, like where we will be running, shooting or stuff. And it can happen in real time and people will see the digital layers over other players and they can like Counter-Strike in real life. And it will be really about how physical fit you are or how good aim you are. And we can like really, there will be like new industry of the digital sports or digital sports, which will be happening.
That's super cool. Yeah, I actually saw on your LinkedIn, I think it was your LinkedIn or maybe it was your Twitter, but there was a cool company, I think in Czech Republic, that was like, they had the go-karts and what they did is they put like an AR layer over the track. And so you're driving your go-kart and you're running over like a boost or a rocket and you can shoot the other players and stop them.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I think it wasn't Czech, it was, I think, from Netherlands or somewhere okay. There. And it's literally, they have a video mapping over the empty hall and you are driving your car and it's reacting on what is happening visually. So you can like really play the Mario Kart or any game, like you are shooting the rockets and the car can react because they know, okay, I was hit, I will turn off his engine or I will immobilize him and stuff like that. Yeah, this is definitely cool. And it's already happening, like, but it's not AR, because it's happening with the video mapping. It's not
true,
like,
true.
But yeah, it's cool technology.
Yeah, I feel like it's like the very early stages of kind of AR technology, but it's definitely not AR.
But that's the same thing. Like you can use it even in skiing. Like you can have the challenging, like you need to drive these digital tracks and you don't have to have there like these physical physical obstacles or physical gates or something like that. You can just drive and everything will be like evaluated there.
Totally. All right. And then fashion.
Fashion is like really one of the best fields for adapting these technologies. Like, we were already working with some projects I sadly cannot talk about, but there was like really interesting project, because right now the digital fashion and digital fashion is happening all around the world, and fashion designers are trying to always like top your imagination. When you are seeing some new model, okay, I didn't think about that. And with the digital layers, you can even like lose your ideas and let it go, because like you can have the particles, you can have the anything like there, you can like define the gravity, because that's the digital world, so you don't need to stick with that. I think there's like on the fashion, there's like really big part of totally virtual fashion, and there is this digital fashion, and it really depends if in some case we will have these glasses everybody. If everybody will have the glasses, you can tell, okay, I want to be perceived like this to other people. So you will wake up and you will say, okay, I'm feeling like a Metallica t-shirt because like I like Metallica, and everybody will see the Metallica t-shirt. But then you are going for the business interview or something, so you put the blue color or white color or whatever you want, and everybody will see you like that. So I think like the fashion, and also like right now the fight against the fast fashion, like everybody, if you will have the like the standardized comfortable t-shirt, you can then change the perception how people see it, see you with it, and you don't need to have them like 20 of them.
Wow, that's super cool. I never actually thought of that. Yeah, because I always wear these Lacoste V-necks like over like every single day, and yeah, but I can have, you know, exactly as you said, if I'm going to a business meeting, I can change it to like a suit and tie. If I'm, you know, I don't know, going to the beach, I can change it to something that's more, you know, kind of cool and crazy, like have wings or something. Who knows what, but that's super interesting. All right. So what about like advertisements? I know this is a big one and people are always like, oh, it's going to be so dystopian, but, I'm of the opinion that like, if it gets crazy, then people just either shut that off or, like the crazy dystopian technology, it never gets adopted because people are like, no, it's too freaky. I won't do that. So. Tell me about advertisements.
There's the video. Did you saw the hyper reality?
Yes. Yes, it's, exactly. Everyone's like, oh, that's so scary. I'm like, that's not going to happen. There's no way.
No. That's it. I think like the advertisement will be most influenced by AI actually. Because I think the AI, what will happen with the AI is that there will be no standardized advertisement. The thing is that if you see the billboard, like, buy these knives because there's like nice lady holding them, okay, you will buy them, but in the future the advertisement will be much more targeted. They will like understand your personality, they will understand what you do, how you do it, and it will be much more subtle. Like nobody will want like everywhere the like neon lights like in the hyper reality and everything. I think it will be more about like subtitle and like don't even know that you saw the advertisement, but you will realize I really need to buy these knives. that's how I think the evolution of the advertisement will go. But on the other hand, like that's actually also the future. Did you see the new song from Gorillaz?
No. Sorry, it's a song?
Gorillaz. Gorillaz is the
band. Gorillaz. Okay. Yeah, I haven't seen it yet.
Okay, so definitely check it out. What they did was that they released the song on Times Square and Piccadilly Circus, and it was about that you came there, you put over your phone, and the concert was actually happening everywhere around you, and they literally hijacked all these advertisement spaces which were happening there because they overlaid with their digital layers, and they kind of stole like advertisement place in worth of millions maybe for like 20 minutes, and they like let everybody to see it, and that's like really great example of the advert mindset, because like you don't need to focus on these physical words. Like you are not limited by billboard or size or everything. And that's it. Like I think the AR will help to make it everything more subtle and everything more natural. Like if you, the advertisement will like definitely not be the blinking neon saying buy me, buy me, buy me, because you will just shut it down.
Right.
Like I think like there's like also alternative. There will be like, I don't know, Xiaomi glasses or some new like super low cost glasses, which will be handed out for free. Like, okay, here is it. And it will be full of ads. And you will have to buy like expensive Apple glasses to get the premium version, or even subscribe to Adblock or something like that to get the clean word.
Wow, that's crazy. All right, so education.
Education. Okay, I think like the education is like running really, really, I would say fast in that. There's already the books for children which are using augmented reality to explain the processes and everything. And I think even this will grow. And again, it goes hand in hand with the AI right now. Because like, thing is, what we won't even learn, if we want to know everything, again, or we want to rely more on these like live databases of everything, and we will interact with that. But we were doing a lot of trainings. Like we were doing application, for example, for CPR training, how to revive somebody, or some other things. I think the education is like really, I would say, now market. It's happening. It's happening all aside. It's not really happening too much in the schools, like for the young children. Like there's a lot of like,
there's no money in school.
Yeah, but still there's like teachers which are still, I think even here in Czech there is a lot of teachers which were going to school in 70s or 60s. So they, for them it's totally different world, and they are trying to adapt, and it's slow, and they're like, this process is getting much, much faster.
All right, so tell me about healthcare.
Healthcare. Healthcare is really interesting on the side of the, I would say, surgery, because like it's really happening right now.
Oh, it's happening now. It's live today.
Yeah, like because for the surgery, you usually have one try. that's like kind of like no mistake ground. Like there, no space for mistakes, and not every time. Like if you think about some like really high level surgery, which is not so common, it's usually that the surgeon itself was trying it 20 times, like just on some maquettes or something, and then he needs to perform it, or he did it twice in his life, and that's like super, super challenging. But if you can like simulate these environments and really try it with the haptic feedback, really you get the push because you run into the bone, or you really see what's happening there, that's really priceless to get. And like there are two other use cases. One is to have the like rentgen vision. It's like you can literally, if you do like scan of the body before the surgery, and you know where exactly are the organs or where is the bad part of stuff, you can then overlay it during the surgery, and you can like live do the rentgen vision for the surgeon, and he doesn't need to open the whole body. He just need to, he can work with much smaller space. So that's other thing. Next thing is the remote surgeons. It's like it's happening for quite time. Like you have the robots and everything, which are like really capable of performing these tasks, but you need to have this live vision on how it's performing, low latency, see it, everything. And that's, again, where I would say more virtual reality can come. But yeah.
Very cool.
That's just surgeons. Then you have the therapies and everything. And we were, like, there was a company which were, like, doing the trainings, do you call it, how to use these vents and everything, how to perform the task for nurses. It's like, again, really open market.
Which AR use case are you most excited about personally? And then number two, which AR use case in your mind will create the biggest market or have an impact on an industry, which will be the biggest business use case?
Like, I think like I'm really excited about the idea of the real life metaverse or the like these digital worlds, because like I think that's it's just allowing your imagination whatever you want, and you can say, okay, I right now I'm going to school and I will go through Harry Potter world, or I will go through, I don't know, whatever world, and you can pick your how you will perceive the worlds, and you can share these worlds with the like-minded individuals, and you can also like have these like unlimited layers of digital world over the regular world, and you can experience them how you want. That's kind of what excites me most, and that's why I'm like really putting a lot of my faith in the AR glasses and everything you'll see. Because right now, I think the biggest disadvantage of virtual reality and everything is that it's used only on like really rarely. I'm a VR developer, tons of glasses and every model possible in the office. And I think I'm really using VR really not so often. Like it's still rare. I'm playing some games, I'm doing some meetings there, but it's still like compared to phone or something, it's still like nothing. And I am hoping this will change. And the technology where the technology will change it most was the second.
Which sector do you think will be impacted the most by AR? Like, which is the biggest business use case that people could be potentially focusing on?
Yeah, like I think like the gaming and entertainment in general. Because like, if you think about it, again, it was the connection. Like, you are just like a passive watcher of these experience mostly in the movie and everything. But if you will be able to live through your movie or live through your experience and everything with the digital layers, entertainment is the biggest market which will adapt to it.
Very cool. All right, that was AR. I want to move over to VR now. And, you know, I think AR to me seems a bit more kind of like corporate or business focused. While VR for me, and you know, tell me if I'm wrong, VR for me is more of a personal, experiential, fun media entertainment kind of focus. It's less corporate. Is that accurate or is that inaccurate?
I was having a few like theories about this during the time I'm working with it, but lately I'm standing that VR is actually just a focus mode of AR.
Interesting.
AR will be the standard. You want to see the world, you want to be anchored. And if I want to have like deep experience or focus on something, I want to study on the surface of moon, or I want to talk with my friend in some room, we will go into VR. We want to let go the real environment and we will focus on these digital worlds and we will go there. So this is how I'm like seeing it right now.
Very cool. Okay, so same thing stands with the biggest use cases in VR is going to be mainly gaming, media, entertainment. It's going to be those types of use cases.
I think in VR it will be mainly gaming. Like okay. That's like for me, because like how I said, like the AR for the gaming means physical activity. There's still a ton of gamers who doesn't want to get up from their chairs or something. So I think the VR will be mainly the gaming, even more than AR. It's where it has the like, or when this experience you want to live through something, you want to be on Pandora with the avatars or something like that. You want to be totally there and think about it. And I think the VR will be really connected mostly with the haptic feedback. That's where you will be going for VR. If you will be in some chair or you will put some suit or something, that's a VR experience, like focused experience on something you want to live through. AR is more like going out, having normal life, interacting with that.
Very cool. Okay, so the big kind of stoppage or blocker for augmented reality adoption has really been some incredible device that we have, like some usable, easy device. But what has been the big blocker for VR? Because I feel like, I mean, you know, I feel like we've had some pretty good hardware for quite some time, and still is not, you know, I have a VR headset. I rarely use it. All my friends have VR. They rarely use it. But when we do use it, we love it, but it's just not like a common thing. I'd much rather, like my Xbox is like so much easier. So what has been the big blocker for VR in your mind?
I totally agree what you said. Like, I think right now, like, the Quest is on like $500, which is kind of like below average price of the phone or something like that. And so I think the barrier is gone and there's like still slower adoption. The gaming is the only thing which is keeping it underwater, I would say. I think, like, in my case, I don't know if I can compare it, but I have a PlayStation 5 and I think I'm using it even lower rate than the VR. It's like, when I bought it, I've played some games, I was trying something, playing okay, then I rarely play. Even if it's under TV, you see it every day, you came into your living room. And I think that's it, because like, if the phones would be only for gaming, I don't think we would use them also like this.
Interesting. Okay, so you think that we need VR devices that have way more applications versus just gaming?
I think more audience and more things to do there, and more like, if it would be standard to work in VR glasses, if they will be comfortable enough to really do this, but still it's more AR. I really think that VR possibilities are only in the things I described, like focus mode. And we kind of like, I think we are on the 50-60% of the capacity of the VR glasses of or the focus mode. But we are on the 2-5% of the real life experience where we can live through it and use it for other experience.
Interesting. Okay. Very cool. So everyone's talking about AI, of course. You know, the past few years has been an AI like invasion. How is AI impacting your business specifically, and how will AI impact, you know, we'll call it like immersive technology?
Yeah, like how I said, like I think it's really complementary. Like AR, VR is the hardware interface and AI will be the logic behind it. And yeah, it's impacting a lot. Like we are, just yesterday we had the meeting about the AI in our company and we were like, everybody were showcasing what they are doing with ChatGPT, Midjourney, some text to 3D experiments and everything. And it's really, really big thing. And I think the AI will in general like democratize the programming and access to creation. So right now, if like you have a great idea for a game, like I'm part of like a lot of groups with the gaming and VR on the Facebook and other Discords and stuff. And there's always like the guy who can, okay, I have a really great idea about the game. It's a perfect, I have lore, everything. And I just need some guy who will program it, everything, and we can split it. And everybody will, it's like a running joke, because like every time there's some guy who comes like this, and every programmer is like, yeah, so I will do like 99% of work, and we will split the thing. But the thing is, I think in 2-3 years, the guy will not need the programmers. He will just say his lore, he will say his idea, he will say the mechanics he thinks, and he will be able to put it together with some AI tools. And that's, I think, like kind of cool.
Yeah, no, it's incredible. Like the pace of iteration in AI is wild, and the applicability. It's like, it can help you with your spreadsheet, it can help you with your emails, it can help you develop a game. And so I think it's very, very exciting. All right, so we're coming close on time here. Thank you for extending. The metaverse. What is the metaverse? We've been hearing that term for a while. It's no longer cool. What are your thoughts?
Somebody would tell that I should have like really clear opinion on that, but I'm still like, there's like digital wars. Somebody talks about metaverse like digital wars. But since there is no oasis, there is no Ready Player One world where everybody would move, there's like hundreds of words. I'm calling it more like metaspaces. I would say it's an evolution of social networks, because right now, like you have the Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, you will have Sandbox, Decentraland, Somnium, and then you will have these digital worlds or digital platforms where you will be connecting with the specific kind of people or your friends. So I'm more, when I know that somebody is like against it, but I'm more saying like, or I'm more on comparing it with Web3 itself, Web 3.0. Like it's the whole like the evolution of the perception of the worlds and digital evolution of the internet. That's how I think with that. Somebody tells that that's different from Web 3.0. Yeah, it depends. Like the easiest, if I'm asked one sentence answer, I'm saying it's evolution of the digital evolution of the internet. Next.
I think that makes sense because, you know, my definition has changed so much over the years. Before I was like, oh, the metaverse is you have to use blockchain for ownership. And then I was like, okay, well, that's one small part of it. There's so much more. And there's certain instances where you don't need ownership. So it's like blockchain's not always necessary. And now basically what I've settled on is like the experiential internet, an internet you can kind of actually experience and that's more real. But even that for me is like doesn't catch everything, right? So there's so much more to it. But so do you think is the metaverse real? Is the trend of the metaverse a real thing? Or is it just like a pure hypey kind of bullshit?
Yeah, I think like the metaverse, how most of the people think about it is just a trend. But the metaverse, how I perceive it or how the like, community perceive it is something which will be there.
That makes sense. So the people that are working on it know it's real and define it in a different way than most people that are not working on it, that are just observers. You know, that vision of the metaverse is not.
I can find like 200, 300 companies which thinks they are making the metaverse. And they are saying, okay, this is the metaverse. This is the next big thing. Everybody will be going to our metaverse. We are the one. Like totally. That's like the Facebook. Like that's actually interesting because in some parts of Asia, for most of the people, there is a synonym between internet and Facebook because they are using only the Facebook. That's their connection to internet. Wow. And that's actually how I can see like in some parts, like for somebody will be like, if you will go into some, I don't know, Central Africa and you will, where there's no internet coverage and you will newly create the internet coverage and first application, which will be on every phone will be your metaverse. You will be the internet for it. Why I'm thinking it's more about the like internet evolution is because the internet or the metaverse is the connection between these worlds. Like these metaverses are evolution of social networks or websites. These are the centers or where you will be talking with them. It's not like the center itself. Like they don't exist if you are not in the internet.
Amazing. All right, David, are you ready for the closing questions?
Okay.
All right. What are you bearish on?
I think like the blockchain itself, like the decentralization.
Really? Okay. Tell me more.
Like, I don't think like the decentralization is possible right now in this case. Like, I think there was decentralization of the internet or try for it. And it was like 15, 20 years ago with the Pirate Bay. That was the decentralization. But how the decentralization right now is perceived. And it's funny how decentralization is actually pushed by big corporates and stuff. It's like, okay, we want to give you some decentralization, but we will control the centralized mechanism. So I think like the decentralization itself, I don't know if it's even possible to do in this market and mindsets.
Would you say Ethereum is decentralized?
It was, I would say.
It was.
In the moment it stopped minting, mining. The funny thing is that somebody told me that apes, like Bored Apes, are decentralized. I said, okay, how it can be decentralized that somebody stole somebody the ape and they just banned him? That's not decentralization if you can like just one guy or they decided that this was stolen, so we are banning it. And it was like one central operation. That's not decentralization.
Yeah, well, so it was like OpenSea or a big exchange would like flag, be like, this was stolen, so it hurts the value of it. But in theory, it still is like decentralized. You can't take it back.
Apes are like mainly like community. And they are hosting these events and everything. And they like, yeah.
No, totally. The Bored Ape is a IP that's owned by Yuga Labs, which is a centralized company. So I see what you mean there. All right. Wow. So great take. What are you bullish on? And you can't say like your company, of course, which you're very bullish on, but like anything besides like your company.
Right now, AI, I would say. AI.
Nice. Very cool. Anything specific, like any specific use case, or just like broadly the whole movement?
Like, I think this generation of the words and everything, and I would say change of the whole industry on the programming and creation, how the creation will happen. That's something that will change. I don't think it will be like, I don't know, because like, I just saw the difference between version 1 Midjourney and version 5 Midjourney, and it was 1 year, and it changed so much. It's crazy. And right now I saw like the version 1 of some text to video, and it was similar to version 1 of the Midjourney. And I'm saying, okay, where will be the text to video in 1 year or 2 years? And where will be the text to 3D, text to game, or text to experience?
Love it. All right. What is the best piece of advice you've ever received?
Just go for it. That's it. If you want something, go for it. Like, do everything to reach the goal. And yeah,
I think that that's amazing, because I think a lot of people are kind of scared about consequences of either like looking funny or just like not, you know, failing in a certain task. And I love that simple, you know, kind of, you know, advice right there, which is just go for it. Like, just try it. The worst that can happen is it doesn't work out, and you know, you can try again, right? So, very cool. All right, last question. What motivates you?
Hunger for knowledge, I would say. I love to learn new things. I'm in the phase that I like fix on some things, and I try to learn so much about it. The same with this AI. I totally hate how people can like, after one day, put the AI expert on their resume. But this is how the evolution goes, and I think there will be a lot of new knowledge, and I like to get it. And that's it.
Amazing. Amazing, David. Thank you so much for coming on. It was an absolute blast. If people wanted to find out more about yourself and find out more about, you know, your companies, what channel should they go to?
Yeah, like lately I'm really active on LinkedIn, but also the yourstudio.com, you can check it out. Also, if you want to meet, I will be on conference we are co-hosting in June. It will be 7 on June in Prague. It was Metaverse Festival Prague. So check it out and we can meet there, and I will be having a talk there, and other experts from different fields will be there.
Incredible. Awesome. Thank you so much, David. Appreciate it.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
See you.
Bye.